wants to find a seat, we will call the meeting to order.
Assuming Kathy's ready.
She said she's ready.
Oh, she? Okay, I didn't hear.
Thank you for coming and welcome to our commission board meeting. We'll begin with our introductions. When you give us your name and maybe the city you're from, if you are here representing a organization, would you please state that so that we can have that in the record? If you're not, that's fine. You're more than welcome. There's no requirement. But we'll begin here with the commissioners. Nancy.
Okay. I'm Nancy Oatman. I'm a board member of the commission, and I come from Hastings, Nebraska.
Okay. Julie Johnson, I'm from York, and I'm the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners.
Jim Urach, I represent the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska here in Omaha, is where I'm at, and I am vice chair.
Daryl Walla, and I'm from Omaha, one of the Board of Commissioners.
Mike Hansen, a member of the Board of Commissioners, and the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska representative. And I'm also from Lincoln, I guess. So.
I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission. I live in Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson from Lincoln. I'm doing the recording this morning.
Maybe Kathy.
Kathy Stevens. I'm from Lincoln. I'm Administrative Assistant for the Commission.
Verna Hansen. I'm a driver, and I'm from Junietta, Nebraska.
What the hell's that?
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Is he representing
state? Howard Compton, American Council of the Blind of Nebraska State Treasurer, and I'm from Omaha.
Lenny Milans, a Vice President of ACBN of Nebraska, and I'm from Omaha.
Barbara Epworth, Chapter Representative for the ACB. Of Omaha, I'm from Omaha.
Bob Eaton from Lincoln, Deputy Director of Independent Living Services.
Nancy Plural, I'm the Omaha District Supervisor for the Commission for the Blind.
Carol Jenkins, VR Counselor, Omaha.
Is that
Robert?
All right, that's one of the thoughts back to back. All right, so Robert Newman from Omaha, and I work for the Commission.
Janice
Compton,
I'm from Omaha, and I am a member of ACBN.
Tell me, Tony, I have no part of it. I'm here for ACBN, the lips, and the ORB. I'm here for the blind.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good point.
And then Mark Bulger, just mm-hmm. Omaha.
Okay. Is that everyone?
That's it.
Dan Berg from Omaha.
Okay. All right. Thank you again, and welcome. Okay, now on to our announcements. Periodically through the day, we have time for public comment, and today I'm going to ask that the public only comment during public comment time so that we can keep things moving and on the schedule. Also, if you could give me your name when you want to speak, and then I will call on you to recognize you so you can have the floor and speak. Please keep comments to the point, and just a couple of minutes so that if we have a lot of people that would like to speak, that everyone gets an opportunity to do so. If time allows in the public comment section, I will allow people to speak again, but the preference is that everyone have an opportunity to speak once first before we get round two. Okay. There are Braille and print meeting agendas for your review, and I think there will be a small change in the meeting agenda. I believe that the representative from Outlook Nebraska is going to be here this morning at about 10:30, so we will need to switch that from this afternoon to this morning, and then I will have my report this afternoon instead. The Open Meeting Act, which are the rules that govern how we run the meeting, is available for you to review in both Braille and print. The meetings are recorded and then available on the website for your review. There are also text meeting minutes that are the abridged version of the actual recordings. The recordings are usually available shortly after the meetings for you to listen to. Hubert's doing those recordings today. Hubert, do we need to use a microphone for the public comment section?
I would appreciate it if folks who want to make a comment and would like to have it better quality on the recording, if they would hold up just a second. Let me get to them with the portable mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
So when I call your name, then wait until you have the microphone to speak so that we can get a good quality recording. Thank you. Okay, lunch will be provided by the kind folks. Nancy?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about lunch.
Okay.
That's a priority for this group, yes. Let me tell you.
It's always a priority. Any meeting, you get lunch out of the way. We've had some deafblind consumers in the course of the week that have come in and made lunch. So they made Sloppy Joe's, chips, we have some vegetables, some fruit, and they made brownies and pumpkin bread.
Awesome.
And so I know that we have the focus topic starting at 12:30. So I don't know if between 11:30, quarter to 12, if we want to break for lunch. We just need to set up a place where the panel can sit together with interpreters. So I don't know, maybe you guys are getting lunch, we can kind of set up an area for the interpreters and the consumers, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And across the hall, directly across the hall from here, we'll have the lunch all set up. It'll be kind of set up buffet style, and we'll be serving that.
Okay. Sounds very good.
They didn't make the chips, did they, Nancy? I want to clarify.
No, they didn't make the chips. They didn't grow the celery either.
I just wanted to clarify.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Okay. We'll hopefully we'll be done to break for lunch at the scheduled time. That's my hope. Okay. If not, we'll have to come up with plan B.
Okay.
We'll do what we need to do.
And I was just saying, at about 4 o'clock yesterday, we had a couple of interpreters back out on us, and one of our panelists had a family emergency.
Oh.
But we still have 3 panelists and then a couple of other two or three other consumers that are coming that are deafblind that are always very anxious to talk about their services. So
okay,
we might just, based on time and where we are, I did present just some possible questions. We can streamline those too.
Okay.
They're open and very flexible.
Okay, sounds very good. Thank you very much. Okay, Daryl,
yes.
You're our official agenda reader person.
Okay, I knew I was something, but I couldn't. All right. Well, we've had the call to order and the announcements about lunch, and our first item after I read this will be to approve the November 21st minutes of our last board meeting in Lincoln. And it looks like we're going to go to old business at 9:20 with a budget update. Then we're going to have DAS and NIS updates, or is it DOS?
It's actually Department of Administrative Services.
Okay, thank you.
DOS is Disk Operating
yeah.
System.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. 9:45 NFB Newsline update. 9:50 Client Assistance Program, and if there's any issues there. 9:55 would be public comment, in which people are invited to make comments. 10:10, we have a break. 10:25 was supposed to be chairman from the report from the chairperson. Is that going to be moved?
As it is right now, I am planning on moving that to the afternoon.
Okay. So we'll probably have Outlook Nebraska at that point, is what it looks like, so we'll change that. Then we're scheduled to have report from the executive director. After that will be time for public comment. Lunch is tentatively scheduled for 11:30. We're always hungry, so we're usually pretty close with lunch schedule.
12:30 will be our deaf-blind services focus topic. 1:30, we'll move to new business. Will we have Nancy and Carlos's report before Outlook comes, or will that still stay the same?
I hadn't thought about it.
I have a suggestion.
Should it?
Let's finish reading this, and we'll figure out.
12:30, report from Nancy Floral, Carlos Servan, in regard to the visit with Outlook Nebraska. 1:50 was the scheduled presentation, so that by Outlook, so we won't have that. 2:10 is public comment, and 2:25 we have final announcements, our next meeting focus topic, executive director evaluation, and then we will adjourn. So those are the events that are the things that are going to be going on.
Okay, the question about the schedule, the agenda change, is that, well, it's not really change, the rearrangement?
Is it more appropriate to do the minutes first and then go back to that, or can we do that here?
We can do that here.
Okay.
Julie, I'd like to suggest, if we're going to have the Outlook Nebraska individual at 10:30, at least that's what he told me when he called yesterday. He wanted, you know, he said he'd be here between 10:30 and 11. I told him closer to 10:30. What I would suggest is having Carlos and Nancy give their little what have you first. That way, when we listen to him, we're better informed.
We have the whole thing.
You better believe it.
I'm in agreement.
That
does
make sense.
You better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
one of the few times that makes
should
sense.
We do Nancy and Carlos's report at 10:30 or 10:25, and then his report immediately after that, and then move my report and Dr. Van Zandt's report to the afternoon?
Well, the question is, do we want them to hear him to hear their report?
Well, that's up to when he gets here, and we need to get things moving,
right.
Regardless of. You know,
could we have their report first?
That's what I'm thinking.
Nancy and Carlos's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
so
to put
right
them on
now?
The spot, but I think that
I mean,
would...
right now.
No, not right now.
Because this is a...
After the break?
Well, yeah, 10:25.
No, couldn't we have it? Couldn't we have it now after the minutes?
That's what I'm
Nancy
thinking.
Nancy and Carlos's report?
Yes, because this is a public meeting and... I don't know, maybe... Well, that's depending, I guess, if what they have to say. The person from Outlook walks in and, you know, hears their comments.
Maybe.
We can't shut the door on them. It's a public meeting, but and maybe they don't feel
Maybe it
awkward.
Would be appropriate to ask Carlos and Nancy's opinion on what they would.
That's what I'm saying. If they don't mind, we could just have them go at 10:25, or if not, if they would rather go now.
Okay, what I would propose that we do is at 10:25, we have Nancy and Carlos' report. And then immediately after that, at 10:45 or 10:40 or whatever, if the gentleman from Outlook Nebraska is here, then he can give his report. If not, we'll move on with what we need to
next
do.
Next in line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if both of those reports happen this morning, then we'll move my report and Pearl's report to this afternoon.
The question I'm still asking is, Carlos and Nancy, are you okay with giving your information, even if the people come into the room, and or would you rather do that now?
It doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to
anything. All right. Okay. Well, I'm okay with it then.
All right. We
if you're comfortable.
Okay, that's what we're gonna do. 10:25, Carlos.
Sure.
Is okay. We'll do that. Any other discussion about the change to the agenda?
I think we're good.
Sounds good.
All right, let's rock and roll. Next up is the minutes from the last meeting.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as we've already established that we think are good. So
second.
I make a motion we approve.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the November 2009 Commission Board meeting minutes, which we have all read and reviewed, and are available on the website, or will be, I guess.
They're there now.
They're there now. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mike, yes or no?
Yay.
Yay. Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Yes, for me and Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. They are approved. All right, our next item is the budget update.
All right. Let's see. You all know, I'm sure, that the state receipts are low, and the governor did call the special session. We did lose some funds, but we're managing just fine. This past year, we were able to get additional federal funds from reallocation from other states that were in even worse shape than Nebraska is, and from the stimulus era funds from the federal government, and also from Social Security reimbursement. So we're not, you know, overflowing with money, but we are able to manage the cuts that we did receive all right. The governor has put a freeze, at least this year and possibly for 3 years, on salary increases for top-level management. The labor union, the NAEP, AFSCME, has been considering whether to approve the same freeze for people covered by the labor contract. Yesterday, the union announced they will not accept that. So the governor didn't make a comment yet, but I believe that that's just where, I don't know if it'll be contested, but it looks to me like the state employees covered by the contract will receive their raises as is in the current contract. I'm sure for some larger agencies that may mean some layoffs of people, but we had already computed that raise into our budget figures. So the commission should be all right with that. Otherwise, we're just, you know, we're moving along. We are doing some great things with the ERA funds, and basically things are going pretty well. Do you have any questions, or would you like any further information on that?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Well, I guess I do. I always have questions. I know we talked probably a year ago that the agency has quite a few people that will be entering into the time when retirement is becoming, you know, more and more an option for people.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect the budget, or will it?
It could affect the budget. When people retire from state government after a certain period of time and numbers of years, they do get a portion of all of their accrued leave time paid back. So that includes sick leave and vacation, which many of our staff, especially some of the older ones, really have a lot of leave time saved up. So if several people retired at once, you know, it would be a significant impact. But of course, each situation is different. The amount of money would be different for each person. It's possible when we would rehire for those positions, we would start, well, in most of those cases, the starting salary would be less because the people have, you know, accrued
Love
many years of,
right.
Yeah, so, you know, and a lot of it's timing, and of course we don't know for sure. We have quite a few people that could retire today, but so far, really only one or two that have indicated they're actually thinking about it in the near future, and the near future might be in the next year or two. So right now, I think we're good.
And, okay.
You know, there's no real way to predict.
As long as everybody doesn't retire all the same week, it's
right.
Not a, okay. Yeah, note that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can kind of...
That's on public record now.
Kind of look ahead, but to actually plan for it isn't feasible.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about that in conjunction with the, you know, other issues. You know, any one of them by itself might not be such a big
right.
thing, but you start adding up.
Yes. Let me say that probably what we would do if, let's say, there were several retirements that really did require a fairly significant payout of funds, we'd probably just need to, pardon me, wait to rehire for those positions. We would try to manage it in that way rather than, you know, laying anybody off, God forbid, or or other drastic measures.
Okay.
So we would figure out a way to make it work.
Okay.
There's no plans for furloughs or things like that, unpaid.
Okay, thank you for asking that.
I know in Iowa, my brother's a probation officer, and they have to take like so much.
Yes, and there are some state agencies that have already implemented furloughs. And I looked into it. You might have also heard that there might be additional cuts in this session or even in the next year. If that occurs, we would really need to look at it. We don't need to do furloughs at the present time. And if we do have a tighter budget, what I will look at first is a voluntary furlough. Mm-hmm. Some of you remember we did that several years ago when funds were very tight. Mm-hmm. And there were several people that did have the voluntary furlough. It worked well for their personal situation. It saved the commission some money. And so it was a good solution. Mm-hmm. But right now we don't need to do that. That would be the first step.
Sure. Other budget questions? No more budget questions. Okay. We'll move to our next item, which is the Department of Administrative Services and Nebraska Information System update.
Okay. Well, NIS, Nebraska Information System, that's the electronic system that all state agencies use, that all accounting, you know, all the payroll, everything goes through NIS. That is, they had an update of NIS that was supposed to come out in early December, and I think parts of it did happen, but other parts didn't. The biggest trick is always, will the changes in NIS work with JAWS? And then JAWS is always changing too. So far, what the people that run the information system are doing is that they have a blind person. He's a student at the university. I really don't know if he's consults with them or how that arrangement is, but they have him testing NIS with JAWS on an ongoing basis, and you know, then they work at making fixes as it goes. Lately, I have not heard any great outcries from staff about problems with NIS. I also haven't heard that it's working great, so, you know, some blind staff might want to comment. From what I could tell recently, it's kind of about the same. If I may call on Robert, do you have a...
Well, after years of frustration with it, I never touch it. Don't ask me.
See, there, that's... I think that's... the way it kind of goes with people. How about Carlos and Bob?
Sadly, man.
Bob?
Well, my big thing is, and it's more of a technical problem with my computer. We just recently overcome that. You know, I haven't been able to use it to get in and approve appropriations. And that's really been my only real need to get into that, you know.
Right.
For that purpose.
And thank you all for that. Technically, employees of the state of Nebraska, I forgot about Carol's in the back there too. Mm-hmm. Have you done anything with NIST yet?
Yes.
Do you have any?
I like to print off my pay stubs, I guess you could call it, and go on NIST and do that. But with JAWS, let me see if I can explain it. The first few steps through your links list are fine, but once you actually get into your stub, JAWS is, it's really tricky to do, and you just have to trust that the key commands you're doing are taking you there, because it doesn't always say. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, if you do try to find a button, it doesn't always tell you where the what button is there, and you know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's very tricky. You just have to trust that what you're doing is correct, because it doesn't always voice that you are.
Carol, is that document that you're, the pay stub, and is that a inaccessible PDF is what it is?
No. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's because of the system itself.
I know, you can print the document itself, and like, that's okay, but getting there and having it done, the process along the way is what, mm-hmm, to me is challenging.
Right.
And I've worked with Mitzi and other people, you know, mm-hmm, and they're just as frustrated. Like Sahar and Fatos say that it's really hard to do, and mm-hmm, they don't do it.
So is it a matter of scripting, do you think? Do you think that would solve the problem?
Scripting is over my head, I'm sorry.
let me comment. The kind of the other side of the coin is that NIST visually for non-JAWS users is no piece of cake either.
Oh.
Many staff who use their vision to try to find their pay stub in NIST or do other things that you can do kind of would give you the same answers as far as it's frustrating they don't do it. NIST, for people who use it frequently, visually now I'm talking, is not all that difficult. But NIST for people who, don't use it on a regular basis, it's not real clear. They don't quite know what they should do next. And so most often, they don't use it either. So it is, I'm not downplaying the accessibility issue. That is important, and we do continue to communicate with the folks over there about it. But it really is a usability issue as well.
So whose idea was NIST?
Yeah, well, that's a whole state thing. It's not for
wasn't ours.
It's not the commission.
No,
Kathy,
I understand.
Kathy uses NIST a lot. Do you have any comments, Kathy?
I use NIST a lot, just in my role with payroll and fixed assets, and I find it pretty easy, just because I'm in it so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, then the administrative services, I think the main reason we were going to update you about that has to do with business enterprise.
Oh.
And I'll go ahead and address that now. The last summer, the building division, state administrative services, decided that instead of just continuing our contracts for vending sites in state buildings in Lincoln, that they would go through the formal bid process. They did open bids. They opened a request for bids. We submitted bids for all of the vending units in state buildings in Lincoln, which are quite a few different ones, two different vendors, but a number of locations. And the bid process, I reported in November, it was delayed. There was one part of it that was set up. There now is a concession stand in the first floor of the state office building in Lincoln, and it was granted to Scooter's Coffee Shop, a coffee house. Mm. The state law requires that the state licensing agency, that's us, has priority when our bids are comparable to the other bids. Now, in the case of that first floor concessions, that's a brand new concept. We'd never done it. And our bid was not comparable to Scooter's. So we did not contest that. However, our bids for all the rest of the locations were comparable. And so we just figured, okay, the process is delayed. And so we kept checking. Well, January 14th, I think, the Department of Administrative Services Division of Materiel issued a reject letter saying all the bids are rejected and the process is closed. There was no explanation given, nothing. It was just, that was it. And so we've been really looking at all the factors and trying to figure out the best way to approach it. Just this past week, I finalized a letter to the head of the Department of Administrative Services.
Pearl, if I can interrupt you for
yes.
a second. When you say all the bids were rejected, all the bids from all the bidders or just
yes.
all of our bids?
Oh, thank you.
Hmm.
All bids from all vendors were rejected. The entire process was closed.
Okay.
Whereas before, they delayed start dates. It was supposed to be November,
right.
then it was, so yeah, the
okay.
whole, thank you for that clarification. So anyway, I did write a letter, kind of put forth all these things and actually some other issues that just really don't make sense with the way they're managing the vending stuff. And we will see. It went in the mail Thursday night.
What is the process for contesting a bid? Is there a formal review, or does it go to a here? I mean, what happens?
I will be learning that.
Okay. This has not happened before?
It's not happened before.
Oh.
And actually, for the state entities, they haven't, I've been director for 11, almost 12 years, and there's never even been a bid process. Prior to that, I wasn't deeply involved with the business enterprise, but I pretty much knew what was going on with it, and I don't recall there ever being a bid process. Now, there might have been way back when, but to my knowledge, they just... and some of this is state government is getting more meticulous about process, so that might be why we see it today as opposed to the past. But in the past, they would just, like Omaha office building at a few times have said, well, do you folks want the vending here? And there was a point where years ago, we really didn't have the resources to do it or didn't have a person, I don't remember. It's been quite a while, but the actual formal bid process for vending mm-hmm. of state properties, we've never had to do. So exactly how it's gonna work, I don't know. I'm more familiar with grant processes, and it's very unusual for a whole process to be open and then just closed, unless you just really don't get any bids that are decent at all. But there were only maybe us and maybe two other vending companies, maybe three, but I want to say two. And so it's just very unusual. We really don't quite know. But you can believe we'll be figuring it out, and we'll do... Mm-hmm. We have discussed... well, actually, with the Attorney General, we've discussed another vending issue that's kind of in the works, but not this aspect. But the attorney that we work with is one of the attorneys in the attorney... He's an assistant attorney general. So we would certainly be consulting with him.
Okay. The vendor that currently has that cafeteria is still there, and it's still going. So what... Can they terminate, since there's no contract right now?
Yes, and it's what we have is the lunchroom on lower level state office building. Mm-hmm. It's not a full cafeteria, although it's often called the cafeteria, but it's a lunchroom. And then we have vending on all floors of state office building. We have vending in the state capitol, and then there's, I think, about four other buildings that we have vending machines in. So all of those are included in this whole business.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought those were separate. Oh. Thank you.
Well, they are separate contracts, but when the bid was set out, all of those had to be specifically bid on. There's Group A, Group B, Group mm-hmm. through J. And so we had bids on A through J. All right, we do have current contracts, but they're on a month-to-month basis, whereas in the past it was a three-year basis with 90 days notice of any changes, then, or of termination, I should say. Then in 2008, it became a one-year contract. Then in 2009, we went to month-to-month with a 30-day notice. So it's changed dramatically, that whole... And there was never any explanation of why is this happening. And anyway, that's kind of that's where we're at with that.
Wow. Thank you. That is clears up a lot of things for me. I guess I thought that the issue was just the lunchroom. I didn't realize that it was
sorry.
The whole.
Sorry, I didn't make that.
Well, that could have been clear, and I just didn't get it. That's quite possible.
No, that's good. I'm glad you asked.
Sure.
Okay. Other questions about administrative services or the information system? Nothing else? No?
No.
Okay. Right. We will move on to our next, which is our NFB Newsline update. And I did get the... Did you guys get the report?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nope.
You did? Jim did not?
I did not.
Daryl and Mike, did you guys see the newsline
yes.
report? You did. Okay.
I haven't checked email for a couple of days. So.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't even sort of send it to me.
Jamie did send it, but she sent it to her old email address, and then I contacted her because I hadn't seen it, and so then she sent it to me, and then I gave her the new email address, so hopefully we're all
super
caught up now.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few small changes in the report. Instead of like the most used days and the least used days, there were like subscribers added and other information. I found the new Newsline report much more informative than the previous ones. I like the new format. And Kathy, do you have a copy of the Newsline report?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, and that will be attached to the minutes.
I feel slighted.
For all the details.
Well, Julie sent it out.
Oh.
Yeah, I sent it.
Jim, it's a filter on your email that deletes everything.
Nope.
Probably.
Yeah,
yeah, probably. Yeah, I could be. I have to look into that.
No,
and we do appreciate the reports because they've been coming pretty regularly. So very regularly.
Yeah, and Jamie did send it just to the wrong email address.
Yeah,
so
send me my copy and I'll be happy.
She's been good about that. Okay, that's Newsline. Our next thing is CAP complaints or issues. CAP is Client Assistance Program. So complaints or issues?
All right, that's an easy one. There are no complaints or issues this past quarter.
Okay.
Oh, mark that down. That's the quickest we're going to get anything done today.
Moving on. All right, and now that moves us to public comments.
Thanks.
So do I have anyone that would like to make a comment?
All right. Public?
Are you guys still awake?
They're sleeping.
Carlos Cervantes.
Yes, Carlos.
Maybe just a comment about
just
this.
Just a second, please.
Got to get the microphone.
We should be public comment later.
Who then, Carlos?
He's getting a microphone.
Okay, just want to mention that the news line for the blind had added a feature that when you are reading the paper over the phone, by pressing #9, you can have that sent to your email, so you can read it as your pleasure later on at home or save it in your archives, as long as you can read it over the phone and also register to read it in your computer. But all of that is supposed to be free to the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And that was announced on Monday, so I don't know if Jamie put that in the report.
Yes, she did.
She had the number of emails sent, so I don't know if mm-hmm. that was a... or did it separate it into different...
She did have this new feature listed, the #9 thing, that if you liked the article and you wanted to read it again, you could have it sent to your email, or you didn't have time to read it just then, you could send it to your email and read it later, you know, so that it would be, you know, quicker mm-hmm. and accessible and whatever. She did mention that.
Okay. Yeah.
Just thought to mention for the rest of the public in case they...
Good idea. Mm-hmm. That was a good idea. Good.
Yes. Other public comments?
I have plenty of Pearl, years ago...
Oh, anyway, hold on.
Hold on, Lenny.
For the
microphone.
The microphone.
Oh. Years ago, Pearl, they could were you trying give to us pass a little Randolph-Shepard Act for the state office buildings and all. Did they ever get through with that? To protect it, so just
yes.
like the Randolph-Shepard Act is
right.
for the
this
federal.
Is Glennie Weiland, and the law that you're talking about, which our term of endearment is the little Randolph-Shepard, it's a kind of a yes and a no answer. There is new language in the state law that's what I was talking about when I said the priority for, actually I think it says preference for the state agency in state buildings when the bids are comparable. That's new, and what we wanted was an actual priority, which it would, if it were the same as the federal, which just means the manager of that federal building, or we wanted state building, would be required to ask us, do you want this location?
Yeah.
If we said yes, we got it. No bidding had to be done.
But that never went through. Though.
It didn't go through as strong as that. The language that did go through gives us the preference that we're supposed to get it if we're comparable. So I hope that answers.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Other questions, comments, concerns from the public?
Peter.
Anyone?
Howard Compton.
Okay.
My concern about what we've just been discussing, RSVA and the BEP having preference. If the state of Nebraska can write a law that provides for a loophole so that our agency does not have preference, and that's the way I interpret this change. It's nothing more than a loophole to discourage or to deny preference. How is it the state of Nebraska can write a law that is contrary to federal law?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good question. The state law really does not contradict the federal, because federal relates to federal properties, federal buildings. That the state licensing agency has the actual priority. It's the state buildings that the state law addresses. And the federal, Randolph-Shepard, does not cover state buildings at all. So actually the new law gives us more strength in the state buildings than we used to have in theory, but not as strong as the federal. Good question.
Next, Questions?
I think this is Bob Eaton.
Hold, Bob. Hold on a second.
We have to give Hebert double pay for double duty.
I'm trying to remember a conversation that was actually quite a while ago, but if I recall correctly, when it comes to vendors in state facilities, the language establishes a priority rather than a preference. You know, I think the stronger word is preference, and I might be wrong about that. I'm trying to remember something that was quite a while ago.
The stronger word is priority.
Priority? Okay.
Yes.
So we would have a preference in the state. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be that it's quite as strong as the federal language.
That's correct.
Okay. Anyone else? Any? Okay. Then we will take a short break and we will reconvene at 10:25 for Nancy and Carlos's report.
Carlos, excuse me, Julie?
Yes.
The break was to be for 15 minutes. It's just 10 now. Can we reconvene at 10:15?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So if we can keep moving along, yeah. That
agreed.
I think everybody's
anxious
to go.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking
mm-hmm.
about
thank
that.
Thank you.
But yes, 10:15.
Absolutely. All right. Yes.
I go along with
that's
that.
That's a first.